would spend 10 minutes doing a breathwork and meditation practice, just embodying my next level self and asking the question, how can I be of service today? And just seeing what came through and taking inspired action from that point. So that was like my consistent devotional practice every single day for the first 2 years. And that's really where I saw a massive impact, because again, it created that ripple effect throughout the rest of my day. And I was anchoring into my heart first thing in the morning and letting myself like metaphorically put on the next level version of myself that I was aiming to become. Welcome to Make Bank with Marie Wold. I'm Marie, and for the last decade, I've been helping women set and hit unrealistic goals while building their definition of a rich life. This podcast is your ultimate destination for unfiltered discussions about personal development, entrepreneurship, wellness, confidence, wealth building, relationships, and so much more. We're creating our dream lives together, and I'm so glad you're here. Now let's jump into today's episode. Today, we have with us Ava Johanna, who is the founder and CEO of the Academy of Breath and seven-figure online education brand for spiritual entrepreneurs and coaches. Ava shows industry leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs how to have it all, which you know we love here. Whether it's balance, success, impact, freedom, we get to have it all. After working with brands like Alo Yoga, Mind Body Green, and Wanderlust, Ava built the Academy of Breath, a 12-week breathwork and meditation certification that has now certified over 600 students across the globe. Blending science, mysticism, and business, the Academy of Breath is blazing a trail in the breathwork industry. So we're definitely going to get nitty gritty into breathwork and how we can like tangibly take that and apply it to our own goals. And Ava's great at making the practices more accessible than ever before, while providing also the teachers with the tools to be able to lead with integrity, make a global impact, and make an impact doing what they love. So we have so much goodness to dig into here. It was like hard for me to decide where to start, but Ava, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Yeah. It's kind of crazy even like just hearing my bio back where I'm like, damn, we're doing a lot right now.
But yeah. Epic. Yeah. I know. Whenever I have to submit to my bio to someone and I have to update it, I'm like, oh, there's like a lot here. Okay. I need to give myself some more credit.
Yeah, totally. And like the ever evolving bio as well too, being someone who's very like purpose-driven and passionate and multidimensional, I find that it is always changing. And I think that's so beautiful too, that we get to live in a world and play in business where we really do have the freedom to be able to adjust and pivot and grow and take our people along for the ride, which I think is one of the epic parts of podcasting as well too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's so cool how your business just gets to be kind of another form of self-expression. And it gets to be, I was talking about this on another recent episode, of like your business kind of gets to be your art, which is so cool and brings me so much joy. That keeps the fun in it for me, knowing that like I can shift and refine and play whenever I want. Like, we're not married to, okay, this is my bio and this is who I am and this is my title forever. That's so boring.
Yeah. And who wants to peak at like year two of your business, year five of your business?
Yeah. Amen. So I saw, as I was like really digging into your content and your story, prepping for this episode, I saw a post where you defined your journey with like specific quantum leaps, which I think could be a fun way to just give people your background instead of like, so tell us your origin story, give us like the whole thing. But you specifically mentioned three quantum leaps. You talked about starting your podcast, launching your program, and then your first six-figure month that supported you in buying a house, which is epic. But you also said like the journey is so much more than quantum leaps. So can you catch us up on like that perspective of like, these big shifts that also were built on those little daily actions, which is like something that I'm so behind.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's so important. And my intention for even creating that post was to really remove the illusion that there is anybody out there that's having constant quantum leaps. Like even the people that are teaching about quantum leaps are not quantum leaping every single day. It's beautiful to have these moments where it feels like the snowball is full on snowballing.
Yeah.
And also to create that as like the standard is so defeating to so many entrepreneurs, especially people who are just starting their businesses today and dealing with the new algorithm and a little bit of fatigue from Zoom and the pandemic. And it's not all created equal as far mm-hmm. as being able to just go into day one and start your business and have a quantum leap. Do those people exist? Yes. So don't write yourself off. Mm-hmm. I like to believe that there is magic available in every single moment. But yeah. I wanted to create that post to show like these quantum leaps that I had happened within 2 year periods. And what's really interesting that I don't think I shared in that post is that every quantum leap happened in a 2 year cycle in the month of June.
And wow. So I'm like,
I can't wait for this month.
Yeah, what's happening this June?
Because it's been 2 years. What's going to happen this June? But the first was in 2018 when I launched my podcast, my first podcast, The Alchemized Life. And prior to that, I had been blogging for years. I had been connecting with people in events. I had been teaching yoga, meditation, breath work. And so I had been building up a network of people that I had connected with in person through my events, through events that I was invited to, the content creation that I was doing for specific companies like Mindbody Green or Wanderlust. And so I had made a really beautiful community, both in person and online, so that when I did start my podcast, I was getting all of these incredible names saying yes right off the bat without me mm-hmm. even having launched the podcast, without having any data, without having any sponsors. And so the podcast, when I first launched it, we had people like Mark Groves on the podcast, mm-hmm. really beautiful and big, influential,
yeah, like thought leaders, right?
Yeah,
away.
Like real thought leaders. And in the first year, the podcast surpassed, I think, over 250,000 downloads. And yeah. I attribute that to all of the work that I was doing mm-hmm. in the 2 years prior to even starting the podcast.
Yeah, you had been planting those seeds. You yeah. didn't even know that it was going to lead up to that, but like all the work you had done 2 years leading up to it made that possible.
Yeah, exactly. And then the next one that I mentioned was when I launched the Academy of Breath. And the Academy of Breath I launched in March of 2020. So it was mm-hmm. right when the pandemic started. And I do attribute a part of the success to the fact that everybody was seeking some sort of peace and some yeah. sort of environment to plug into to be able to stay positive in a time of a mm-hmm. lot of chaos. But mm-hmm. there are so many trainings out there. There are so many programs being launched. Why did people decide to join the Academy of Breath that had no testimonials, had never mm-hmm. been done before? And mm-hmm. it's because I had spent those 2 years on the podcast, showing up every single week, having yep. all of these big names coming and sitting with me and having conversations. So I built trust. I established myself as an authority. And so when I went to sell the thing, people were already lining up because they saw my journey over not the last 2 years, but the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so I really believe that we can have these quantum leaps and they can happen throughout our business and throughout our lives. But what's way more important than just focusing on the quantum leap is focusing on the compounding daily effect of the people that we are choosing to surround ourselves with, the people that we are choosing to be, the habits mm-hmm. that we have, the thoughts that are predominantly taking over our mind, and ultimately the embodiment of whatever version of ourselves we are. And so I love quantum leaps, but I also am very real in how the quantum leap actually happens. And it's not just sitting around hoping and waiting for a quantum leap. It's actually moving in accordance with whatever leap or whatever manifestation or goal you are desiring to create.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like those daily decisions, those daily choices, the daily actions that like compound. And I love like the concept of compounding, because I think we've all seen like compound interest calculator mm-hmm. or whatever. And it's like this exponential curve, right? And it starts out so slow and the angle is like basically flat, right? But like, over time, eventually you hit that inflection point and it takes off. And like, that's always how I kind of think about those quantum leapy moments in my business. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was just building the basis for that leap, but it was the compound interest effect of like, I was depositing an action into the bank and then it all came together.
Yeah. What are your daily deposits? I think that's such a good reflection for people listening. Even myself, I'm like, what are my daily deposits? Are they adding up towards that quantum leap, or is it keeping me in the same place?
Yeah. I think the way that I frame that is, and I'm excited to get into more of the identity work stuff, because I think so much of the way that has come to fruition for me is the identity piece of like, how do I show up as someone that already has what I want? How do I show up? What would it look like to show up as if before I ever hit seven figures in my business? Like I was always asking myself, like, what would seven figure CEO Marie do in this mm-hmm. situation? And it's always coming back to showing up for what I want versus where I am. And so whether that's like the wellness routines, like I think it can be so simple. Like you wake up and instead of raw dogging the day dehydrated, like you drink your greens, right? Because that's just a small act of like, I'm going to take care of myself today. I'm going to prioritize feeling good. I'm going to prioritize my wellness. And do the greens themselves like radically change my life? Not necessarily, but it's again, the decision of like prioritizing what I know is good for my body sets the tone. So I think mm-hmm. they all almost like riff off of each other as you build the different deposits. So I think it's like those little actions, but it's also anytime something scares me in business, oh, this feels like an edge, right? And still I'm going to do it. Like every time I do that, it's a deposit. Every time I make a piece of content, it's a deposit. Every time I talk about my offer, it's a deposit. Every time I learn a new skill that I can bring to my clients, like it's all just adding up and you don't necessarily see the ROI right away. Like every time I talk about my offer, I don't immediately get a sale, but it gets someone closer to buying. Mm-hmm. So I think it's in life, it's in relationships, it's in, it's all the same, but mm-hmm. it's always what gets me closer to that inflection point, that quantum leap.
Yeah, I full-heartedly agree. I think also, especially in the world of like spiritual coaches, wellness, personal development, we can sometimes create distinction between energetics and between mm-hmm. action and doing, mm-hmm. like being and the doing. But I really believe that so much of the doing actually creates an energetic shift within us that yeah. affects our being. And so mm-hmm. I think about this from a financial standpoint. When I started making really big money in my business, the moments leading up to it were actually some of the most uncomfortable for me mm-hmm. in getting really transparent about where I was screwing up in business, mm-hmm. where I was not respecting my money, where I was really like leaning into unhealthy financial habits. A couple months before I started making multiple five-figure months, I had a session with, it's called The Financial Gym because they were a sponsor on my podcast. And mm-hmm. I had a session and it was a session all about getting financially naked. And it mm-hmm. was so uncomfortable because yeah. I didn't even enjoy looking at my bank account at that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was 2-3 years into business. And so I know that I'm not the only one who mm-hmm. is multiple years into business, feeling uncomfortable, feeling anxious around money. And that was one of the things that I had to do. I had to get organized. I had to look at how much money was getting taken out every month, how much money I could expect to come in, how much money I needed to be moving in different accounts and create mm-hmm. a structure for myself. And it wasn't sexy at the time. I've always been someone who's like, I don't want to have to sacrifice. I want to be free. I want to be yeah. able to do whatever I want. And yeah. I do believe that. And I still want that. And there's certain things that we can set up that actually allow for there to be this energetic maturity that mm-hmm. opens up the floodgates for more to come in. I don't mm-hmm. think that if I had ignored those financial habits that were keeping me feeling anxious and unorganized with my money, I don't think that I would have had the big quantum leap with my income that year.
Mm. Yeah. No, that's huge. And I think there's a difference between avoidance and detachment, right? The avoidance of, I don't even want to look and I'm just going to ignore it and it doesn't exist versus being informed and then choosing to not make it everything to you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a difference between ignoring it as an avoidant thing and an anxious thing versus being like, okay, I know that this is what's happening. I'm informed and I'm choosing to not let this rule me.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think a great example of this is like, you've got debt. Maybe it's student mm-hmm. debt, maybe it's credit card debt. The overall societal relationship to debt is one that is really negative and mm-hmm. one that is really shameful and judgmental. And it's interesting because my boyfriend, he has a very traditional relationship to debt. His mm-hmm. dad was a CFO of a hospital group. And so they had a lot of financial structure where mm-hmm. I did not have that financial structure. I was homeless as a teenager. So I had zero idea of how to actually responsibly work with money. And in some ways, I'm grateful for that because it's allowed for me to be a little bit more flexible with taking risks in my business. Mm-hmm. So the way that I've always seen debt is that it can be an investment in myself. And as mm-hmm. Amanda Francis says, choosing to pay something off over time. But that doesn't necessarily mean that there aren't moments where I've looked at debt that's been on my card and been like, ooh, this makes me feel uncomfortable yeah. and have had to do the work of reframing it and coming back into that truth of I'm choosing to pay this off over time. I don't have to let having 10K or 20K on a card mean anything because mm-hmm. I know that I'm the type of person who's going to pay this off. I know mm-hmm. that this decision to spend money in this way was setting me up to be able to grow my team or be able to yeah. make an investment into a coach or a program. And so the unattachment really is what is necessary, whether it's money related or goal related, because especially the further you go and the bigger your dreams are, the bigger your goals are, some of these things are going to take a longer amount of time. And that's mm-hmm. okay. But mm-hmm. we need to be unattached on the journey and focus on the things that are in our control. And that comes back to what we were first talking about, the compounding yeah. daily habits.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the concept of, okay, I'm choosing to pay for this over time and I know that I will, something that immediately came through for me is like self-trust, right? Mm-hmm. Like the reason why that can feel grounded for you is because you trust yourself to make a good decision and then follow through and like actually be able to pay it off. So have you always had that self-trust or like, where does that come from where you can hold that like pressure, hold that risk, quote unquote, but you trust yourself to make it work?
Yeah, I did not always have that at all.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. No, I mean,
I think really, most people can probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you've always had that, please let me know. I want to know your secrets. I honestly have learned to trust myself through action and following through. If I say mm-hmm. I'm going to do something, I do it. And yeah. it's really as simple as that. I think that there's a lot of smoke and mirrors around the complexities of growth and success. But what I've found, and this is why I like scream from the rooftops about breath work, literally breathing, is that it really is in the simplicity where we're able to unlock the magic of transformation and the magic mm-hmm. of being able to grow far beyond what we could ever even fathom. So the answer is really simple. If you say you're going to do something, do it, follow through, mm-hmm. because the person that you need to trust the most in this life is yourself. And if you can't keep promises to yourself, then of course you're not going to trust yourself.
Mm-hmm. So if someone is now hearing this and recognizing like, oh shit, I don't trust myself, like my self-trust is damaged, where do they start? Like how small do we go to start building back up?
I think starting small within the things that you commit to yourself daily is such a easy way for you to just check off the boxes of, okay, I'm doing the damn thing. I'm following through. You gave the example of drinking your greens in the morning. You could, like you said, raw dog the day dehydrated. I love that so much. And even though you said, I really want to focus on my health this year and I want to eat more protein and go to the gym and take better care of myself and go on daily walks and drink my greens, and then you just go back into the old way of being, that's mm-hmm. you depositing into the I don't follow through bank, right?
Yeah.
Versus if you just say, you know what, I'm not going to create this crazy stack of habits where it's, I have to now start going to the gym 5 times a week. I have to go on a walk in the morning and night. I have to drink my greens. No more fast food, no more alcohol. That is just so depriving for, mm-hmm. and such a stark difference from what life was before. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's beautiful. And if you have the discipline to do that, then hell yeah, go for it. But that's not the conversation we're having. If you're somebody who hasn't had the discipline, who hasn't followed through, start small and do what you can and let yourself build up into the bigger habits and the bigger lifestyle changes. I like to think about this from the perspective of just how the nervous system works. The things that we do consistently every single day create the new habits, fire and wire new pathways in the brain. And so if we're adding all of these things on that we're not able to commit to consistently, we're not actually becoming the new version of ourselves. We're not actually changing our identity. But if we decide, you know what, I'm going to start in March or April, whenever this comes out, with committing to every single morning, my new habit for April is 32 ounces of water in the morning before I do anything else, or sitting down for 10 minutes of meditation. And that's going to be the only thing I add this month. You mm-hmm. are going to create so many more changes to how you feel about yourself, how you feel in your body, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, than if you were to say, all right, on April 1st, I'm going to completely make over my entire identity and just become a totally different person. It doesn't mean that you can't do it, but if you're struggling to follow through in the first place, start small and then continue to work your way up from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you're already in a pattern, and like I've gotten stuck in this loop before, like I know how painful it is, and I know that you set this big, lofty, like, I'm going to be a new human tomorrow. Like, you do it from a genuine place because you believe that it's possible in some way, eventually, at some point. But like, when you are already in that pattern of breaking self-trust or not following through, when you set the expectation too high and you like kind of set yourself up for that failure in the short term, it only perpetuates the cycle. Like, it only makes things worse. Mm-hmm. Even though the intention is, but I can fix everything at once. The way it usually plays out, if you set the expectation is too high, is you just are validating the story that you can't trust yourself. Mm-hmm. Instead of, like, if you pick something that even sounds so ridiculously easy, like it probably is going to, the right place to start is probably going to sound lame. Like, it's probably even, but that's not enough. That's not going to change my life. But like, the point is it adds like one brick back to the self-trust at a mm-hmm. time. Like, if you can do that, then great. And we all know how much there's like this ripple effect, right? Of if I wake up and I get up and drink my water and meditate instead of reaching for my phone, like those two paths, that's one decision, but the two paths of how your day goes as a result of that is like totally different, right? Mm-hmm. So even if it's just drinking the water, then it could like ripple effect the entire day, but we're like just expecting drinking the water. And mm-hmm. I think that builds the upward spiral of self-trust. Yeah.
I'm so happy you said that. I feel like for anybody listening, it's choose to add one positive habit to your mm-hmm. morning, because how you set your mornings up typically is how you set the rest of your day up.
Yeah. Amen. So then tell us about your morning. Like, what, get nitty gritty with the ritual. And if it's different every day, cool. Just give us an example.
Yeah. So it is different every day. In the beginning though, I think this can be helpful. In the beginning, it was wake up in the morning, do my like morning routine in the bathroom, wash my face. I would get fully ready. I would put on the outfit of my next level self. I would put my makeup on. I had my Le Labo that I had to splurge on at that time and would spray my Le Labo just to like trigger that sense of spell, to trigger my nervous system into, okay, I am her. I'm putting her on. And then I would spend 10 minutes doing a breathwork and meditation practice, just embodying my next level self and asking the question, how can I be of service today? And just seeing what came through and taking inspired action from that point. So that was like my consistent devotional practice every single day for the first 2 years. And that's really where I saw a massive impact, because again, it created that ripple effect throughout the rest of my day. And I was anchoring into my heart first thing in the morning and letting myself like metaphorically put on the next level version of myself that I was aiming to become. And so that was what I did for a while. And then it started losing its same level of influence and impact on how I was feeling mentally and emotionally and physically. And so I had to ask myself, okay, well, what do I need this morning then to be able to get to that state? Because I do think that we can neutralize certain activities and rituals. And for a while,
it like loses its potency eventually.
Yeah. And for a while, I was kind of like judgmental of myself. I was like, why isn't my breathwork practice working in the same way that it would? And then I just realized I have grown into that woman, and the woman that I am becoming needs something more than that. And so now, like,
so that was no longer an expander, basically, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And so now it's very intuitive in the morning. I still will start my morning getting up, getting my water, eating protein first thing in the morning before I have any caffeine. And then it depends. I'll either go to the gym, I do strength training, and I love strength training because it really pushes me to my edge first thing in the morning and shows me I can do really hard things in the morning. And the conversations that you have to have with yourself when you're lifting heavy weights are very different than the conversations you're having when you're just meditating. And so I do both, but I love the strength training right now for the
mental state that it brings me into. I'll come home. I have more protein and I get ready for my day. I put her on still. This is a practice that I've had since the very beginning. So I get ready, put on an outfit that my next level self would wear. And from there, I sit down and I'll either journal or I'll meditate or I'll practice breath work. And again, I ask that question, how can I be of service? And that's always been like the very simple prompt that I've given myself every single day that has led to inspired action for my business or for my personal life.
Okay, so if someone's new to that practice, can you give them some examples of like what could come up for you when you ask that question?
Yes, totally. So a lot of different things. Sometimes it's asking, okay, how can I be of service? And a certain topic will come to mind. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is something that I could maybe riff on social media or create content on or record a podcast. I imagine that if this is coming up, that someone in my audience or in my community or a client needs to hear this. And so I'm going to dig a little bit deeper and expand upon whatever has come up within my mind during that practice. Sometimes it's random. Go reach out to this person or go for the day at this
like topic. A very like specific ping.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the pings that come through and I just trust them and I follow them even if they don't make sense. And it's funny because I give this to my clients a lot to do and sometimes they'll be like, "Oh, I got the ping to reach out to this person about my new mastermind that I'm running, but they weren't interested and so I don't know if I like should listen to that anymore." And I was like, "It's not about that person necessarily being the person that's interested in going to sign up for the mastermind. It's the fact that you're listening to your intuition. It's the fact that you are trusting in your own channel and choosing to take action upon the messages that you receive. And that's what creates the floodgates, is being in connection with your source and taking inspired action from that place."
Yeah, just getting into the flow of the action and the follow through itself and like putting yourself in the position to get the result that you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, amazing. So something that came up multiple times in your routine is like putting on her, like becoming her. And I know you're huge on identity work and embodiment. And so where do you see, I think the embodiment conversation is always so interesting because everyone has a little bit of like different take or a different experience. It feels very chicken egg.
Yeah.
Like, what comes first? Is it the identity? Is it the action? Is it the belief? Like, how did those things play together for you?
Such a good question. So for me, it is the action and intention. And action and intention can look different, right? Like in the beginning, I said that my action was to literally put on the clothes that my next level self would wear so that I could feel her on my body. Mm-hmm. And from that action, I would sit down and I would visualize her. I would visualize her coming to life inside of me. I would ask questions to her in my practice to gain insight and guidance on what to do that day and how to move forward. So I think that it's different for every person. And I think it comes back to the senses that we connect best to. So some people are going to be more sensory and visceral, as in they need to feel it. And it's really easy for them to feel her coming alive or feel them coming alive. Some are more like vision based and they need to see it. And so creating like a vision board on Pinterest of who that next level version of yourself is can be really helpful for people so that you have a clear vision of them. For some, it might be more auditory, right? Being able to talk as them and maybe looking in the mirror and eye gazing with yourself and speaking affirmations. And so I always encourage people to try all of the different types of ways that we can connect to see what feels most resonant and what feels most alive and creates the biggest emotional shift inside of them. Because when we shift the emotion, we're changing the chemical response in our body. And when we change the chemical response in our body, we're going to influence our thoughts and we're going to influence our actions.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So if someone is, I don't even know, like they have no sense of connection with like version of them could look like, is it just playing around with these different kind of sensations, or do you have a practice that you like for kind of getting that first clarity, even starting to?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny, I just released an episode on my podcast about this. I actually think that sometimes it's almost better for you to have just more of a general sense, because the human mind is so limiting based on what we've already seen in our external environment or what we've experienced in our past. And so we could be dreaming really big or think that we are, but still actually be limiting the potential of who we can
become and the vision itself. So I always ask people, well, how do you want to feel? What's the general direction that you want to head in? I'm assuming you want to feel more free. You want to feel more confident. You want to feel more embodied and like just more purpose-driven and clear in who you are and where you're heading. That's something that we can run with. Because when you then ask yourself, okay, well, the person who is clear, what do they do every day? How do they show up? Okay, I imagine if somebody is like very much grounded and clear and focused, and when you talk to them, you can just feel their radiance and they're alive with energy, they probably have some sort of practice of connecting to themselves every single day. And so I'm going to start adding that in. So I think that when you get clear on the qualities that you want to cultivate more of in your life, you can ask yourself, well, how do I cultivate those qualities then? And that's going to point you in the direction of the actions that you can start taking on a day-to-day basis. And really through action and experience is where we continue to gain more clarity of what we do want, what we don't want, what inspires us, what we're passionate about, and ultimately be able to form our path through just taking those little steps and moving with the information that we have in whatever moment.
Yeah, I think your practice of using clothing is really beautiful because it's that visual signal. It's the ritual of like getting dressed and literally putting it on, but also something I always say is like trying stuff on. You're literally trying on the identity, and you can try on the shirt and be like, no, this isn't it. Try on a jacket and be like, yes, this is it. This is the vibe. This is the next level. And I think people need to give themselves more permission to just try stuff on and see how it feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And if you're listening to this and you're like, all right, well, I don't have any money in the bank to be able to buy new clothes. That sounds nice, but I can't do that. What I would suggest doing is finding some sort of anchor. Your anchor can be your clothing. But like I said, my anchor was a perfume. Now you don't have to necessarily go and get Le Labo, but a perfume, lighting a candle, your cacao or your coffee in the morning.
Even like for me, it used to be like the days that I did my winged eyeliner was like the days that I felt my most powerful. Like it can be that small.
Yeah, 100%. I had like my lip liner era. Oh, I still have it. But when I first heard that lip liner was awesome, don't make fun of me. It was like a year and a half ago. I'm like, oh, this is great. But I was like, oh, my next level self wears lip liner every single day. And so when I would put my lip liner on, I was like, all right, she's coming alive within me.
Yeah.
And they say, you look good, you feel good. It's not just about being surface level or egoic. This really does have an impact on how we feel. If we feel good in our body, if we feel like we're presenting ourselves well, we're more likely to put ourselves out there. I know for a fact that when I was first starting out, if I had a zit on my face or if I felt frumpy, I wasn't showing up on my Instagram stories. But when I looked good, when I did my makeup, when I was dressing up, I was like, I want to show up.
Yeah. When you feel cute, you are so, the barrier to showing up is so much lower.
Yeah.
When you are feeling yourself, you're like, oh, yeah, of course I can go talk, and maybe it's still uncomfy to do face to camera, but it's one less thing, one less excuse, one less reason why today's not the day.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. So I also want to go into breath work, obviously, because that's like your jam. So I'm curious, where did that come into the picture for you? Because it sounds like you were really in the breath work realm, like well before it became a hot topic. So like, how did you come upon breath work? How did you start integrating that into your life? Like what really drew you to it?
Yeah, I found breath work through my yoga teacher training back in 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
And it was at the time that like next spiritual high that I was searching for. I had been in my yoga practice for about a year. And again, it's like with anything, there comes a point where it doesn't necessarily have that same level of like impact on how we feel that we start seeking something to get us to that feeling again. And so at first yoga was incredible. The movement of vinyasa or hatha practices was so great for me. And then it just got to the point where it wasn't doing it in the same way that it used to. So I started seeking out that next thing. And that was breathwork and meditation, and specifically breathwork and meditation together. I struggled actually a lot with meditation before I found breathwork because I couldn't quiet my mind down or sit still. And breathwork really allowed for me to deepen my meditation practice. So the two together are really like, that's my favorite cocktail. I love them. And yeah, it was before breathwork gained the popularity that it has today. So I was that weird girl at Bandier teaching a yoga school class and saying, all right, we're going to breathe at the end. And just a bunch of LA fitness girls and influencers being like, what the hell are we doing? This is weird. But I stuck with it. And I spent several years in LA and San Diego teaching breath meditation for brands like Aloe Yoga, other local studios, Wanderlust, Mind Body Green. And then in 2020 was when I launched the Academy of Breath and started certifying other teachers and coaches in breathwork and meditation.
Okay, so all this is beautiful and I'm sure has piqued a lot of people's interest, but if they're like brand new to the concept of breathwork, explain what that means, because they're like, okay, just, yeah, like breathing. But how can breathing be like that transformational? I've experienced like huge shifts from admittedly not a ton of breathwork sessions. Like I want to do more as a like a more regular practice, because the times I've done it, it's so powerful. But like, why is that? What is it? Because it's not just like sitting and breathing in and out anyway.
Yeah, totally. Well, the one thing that I will say is that I like to make the barrier for entry really easy for people. And I think a lot of times the gateway into breathwork is like a 2-hour workshop at a yoga studio or something that's a little bit more intense. And that's great. And yeah, you will have these incredible experiences from those sessions. And I love leading those sessions. But as we were talking about earlier, we create new habits by the things that we do every single day. And so I always ask my clients and or invite them into, or anybody who's interested in breathwork, to just start with a 5 to 10 minute practice daily, because that 5 to 10 minutes, sure, you're not going to be like talking to God in outer space, but you are creating a substantial shift to your nervous system. And that's really the magic of breathwork, is the conscious control of your breath to elicit some sort of state shift within your nervous system that creates a different emotion, a different mental response, and a different physical response. So the breath itself is inherently connected to our autonomic nervous system, which is our involuntary nervous system. And for anybody listening right now, you are breathing. Maybe you're not focusing and controlling your breath, but you are breathing. And so what's really cool is that you can control your breath and create a different state shift, or you can let it be out of control and just do its thing and be reactive to whatever environment you're in. So I saw this Instagram post the other day that's like, the good news is you have the ability to control and reframe and reprogram your habits, your beliefs, your thoughts, and your actions. And the bad news is that it's also, I'm totally butchering this right now, but the bad news is that it's also doing it on its own. And like your habits are playing out as they are subconsciously. And so what breathwork really does is give us the opportunity to break the chain of our old ways of being and create new pathways in the brain, new emotional responses. And again, over time, if we're doing it consistently, it really helps with the identity work, because we're changing our brain. We're literally altering our brain structure.
So it has like very much a scientific explanation. Like it very much blends the spiritual side, because I feel like breathwork is most commonly found in like more spiritual communities, but the science behind it is also so legit. It's so proven.
I mean, it's fascinating. And that's where I really went down the rabbit hole when I first found breathwork, because I had a spiritual experience, but I was very logical, very much in my left brain, where I wanted to know what the heck was happening in my body and in my mind during that experience. And I remember during, and this is one of the inspirations for the Academy of Breath, when I did my breathwork teacher training, I asked my mentor, what's happening? What research has been found around this? And she goes, you're more than welcome to dive into the research and go find studies and see what's happening in the brain. But yogis have been doing this for thousands and thousands of years. And so I think they know what they're doing. And that was my, and that was her response. And I love her to death. And she's one of the most brilliant women on the planet. And I needed more. And
that
so
wasn't enough for you.
Yeah.
That's enough for her, not enough for you.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I need more. And I know that so many people will need more than that. So let's dig into what it actually is doing. And there's obviously so many different styles of breath work. And so the research is different based on different practices. But essentially, any practices that are going to be more calming are going to be soothing to your nervous system. So it's going to support you in being able to release stress from your system, to release dopamine and serotonin, which are happy hormones that make us feel feel good, that motivate us, that make us feel connected and loved. It's going to support our digestion, fertility, our immune system. And so all of those calming practices are activating our parasympathetic nervous system, which is really important in order for us to be able to, especially entrepreneurs and business owners, to be able to zoom out of the day-to-day, to make decisions based on the bigger picture and where we want to go. And a lot of people in their lives are just reactive or stuck in survival strategies because their system is so stressed out. That's the only way that they know how to live. And so they're very reactive to life versus being in the driver's seat and being able to have agency over their life, have agency over their responses. And so we can use breath to regain power. We can use breath to be able to regulate our emotional responses. We can use our breath to ultimately pause in the moments where we're at a fork in the road and are being asked, do I move forward choosing to embody my next level self? Or do I unconsciously continue to create patterns of my past, keeping me in the same place?
Okay. So from my understanding and the sessions that I've done with breath work, there's such a spectrum, which you've kind of touched on, of like breath work can be very simple. It can be very calming. It can be very peaceful. It can also make you like hallucinate and have a high, and it can also be very intense. So what is the difference, like mechanically, like what are people doing different between a session that's going to be calming, let's say like a 5 or 10 minute practice, just to get back in your body versus like when you go to outer space and see God, like you said before, like why are those such different experiences from the same practice?
Yeah. So it's the way that we're breathing. When you are breathing more intensely, you're sending yourself into a hyper arousal. Your nervous system is literally becoming aroused through the way that you are breathing. When we are breathing quickly and fast, you're going to start to see your heart rate increase. You're going to feel tingles in your body. You might start to feel some tension. And that's because your system is in a state of, okay, we're working ourselves up. There's some sort of need right now that I need to meet, whether that need is a threat, a demand, a challenge. And so when you're doing that, all of your systems are pointing to this space of become aroused to respond. Made sense when we were in the Stone Ages and were either faced with a saber-toothed tiger or a opposing tribe and needed to be able to protect ourselves. We needed our system to be able to respond in that way in order for us to survive. And so now we can use those styles of breath work to be able to teach ourselves how to be able to hold more stress, to be able to tolerate more stress. So it's a really practice having that arousal, because when you are able to consciously arouse your system and then take yourself out of it, you're strengthening your nervous system's elasticity and ability to be able to stretch and hold a lot of like new experiences and then come back to that balanced homeostasis. And so in the simplest of forms, when you are creating an arousal in your system, it is a sympathetic arousal, which is that fight or flight response. That's what's happening when you're speeding up your breath. And a lot of people will say, oh, well, I don't want to ever be there. That's not good. But when you're the one in control and you're controlling the experience and you're toggling the intensity of it, it's teaching you how to, when you're out in the world, exposed to some sort of threat, be able to control it and have that and have your hand on the toggle in those situations too.
Yeah. I don't think our goal should ever be just like, how do I stay as comfortable as possible? Right. Cause like we all know that the comfort zone is the killer of dreams and growth. Like by definition, we have to get uncomfortable to break a pattern, do something new, be a new person. Like it's going to be uncomfortable. And so if we're always just seeking, or if we're always avoiding things that create discomfort, we miss out on a lot of growth. But I love how you explain that, because I do think that some people would hear that. And I even have had the thought of like, well, if I already had a stressful week or whatever, like, why would I add more stress, quote unquote, by activating my nervous system again? But the way that you explained it makes so much sense. You know, you're increasing your capacity the same way that like pushing yourself in the gym makes you stronger.
Totally.
And then your body recovers and then it's easier next time.
Yeah, totally. And there are some people that shouldn't be doing this, the more hyper-arousing practices, because your system isn't set up for that. Maybe you're somebody that has generalized anxiety disorder and you're working with a breathwork practitioner who doesn't know how to take you from that sympathetic arousal to a parasympathetic arousal. It's important that you're working with somebody or using the breath in a way that is going to, yes, help you be able to tolerate more, but not send you so far into a stress response that you feel coming out of it like you're still up there, right? Like we always talk about in AOB, like making sure that you're landing the ship, right? In any breathwork session, let's take the ship all the way up to the top, let's go to the moon, but we need to come back down to earth in order to make sure that everyone's systems have been able to recover from that heightened state.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so speaking of comfort zone, a lot of people get stuck in their comfort zone and like never really stretch for more, like we've been talking about, even if it's something that's like really on their heart. And I think you're such a good example of someone who did that to the most degree, because you've talked about how a couple of years ago your life was good. Like you had a good enough marriage, you had a nice home that you liked, you had a good life, but there was like something inside of you that was still not, it was not it. Can you say more about that experience of kind of burning your life down to create something better? Like that was a huge, brave move.
Yeah, it's funny. My nickname when I was growing up was Ave the Brave. And I'm really grateful for that, because I think that it set me up to be a little bit fearless. It doesn't mean that fear doesn't exist in my life. It absolutely does. Sometimes it's a little bit more unconscious than conscious. Yeah. But in 2021, I was 2 years into my marriage. And when we first got married, it was a bit rocky, where we had first kind of started having conversations around, well, should we be together? Are we aligned in our values and our goals and what we desire as husband and wife and from this marriage? And then the world shut down and we were kind of forced into this space of, all right, well, let's just stay together and see if we can figure it out. We went to therapy and the therapist said, why don't you just stop talking about your problems for a little bit and see if they go away? And I'll not name who that therapist was, but my ex loved that advice.
Funny enough, ignore it, surely.
Yeah, funny enough, it came back up. So again, it wasn't like anything was bad though. Like we were best friends, we grew up together, but a lot of my needs weren't being met. And it didn't feel like we were equal partners. In fact, it felt like the weight of the world that I had already been carrying for 20 plus years of my life, I was still carrying, even though I had this person who was supposed to be my partner. And I have nothing bad to say about him. I love him to death. He's still a dear friend of mine, but the relationship just wasn't right. Yeah. I knew from the work that I was doing in my business and what I was teaching my clients, that feeling inside of me was guiding me towards something greater. And ultimately, in order for me to be in integrity with my work, it was really important that I listened to that. But before I made the decision, it was really hard for me because things were good. And on paper,
you had reasons to stay.
Yeah.
You had reasons to settle and make peace with it.
Yeah. Honestly, I had more reasons to stay logically than to leave. And it was scary and definitely brought up the fear of, okay, well, what if this is as good as it ever gets? But again, being in the line of work that I am, I knew that there was something greater. And I always say to people, there can be space between knowing and being ready to make the decision. And especially with these bigger life choices, like leaving a marriage, ending a business, pivoting in your life, I think it's okay to give yourself the space that you need. The caveat to that, though, is that the more space that you create between your knowing and your readiness, the more anxiety is going to build, because you're going to know that you are out of integrity.
Yeah, you've now like acknowledged that gap. Yeah. And it's just like, probably feels wider and wider the longer.
Yeah, exactly. And so making the decision was one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make in my life. But upon making it, I mean, it's crazy how quickly this was when the third quantum leap came in.
Yeah.
You know, I walked away from the marriage and my business had its first six-figure month. I met my now partner, who is just the most incredible man, love of my life. I'm so lucky to have a partner like him. Mm-hmm. And literally within a couple of days, my house came on the market.
Wow.
And I got approved for my house. And it was during the crazy time of the housing market, and especially in Austin. My yeah. offer wasn't even the highest offer. And yeah. I literally closed on my house didn't close on my house, but my offer got accepted within a week of me making
wow.
that decision.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Things that just goes to show, like, the knowing can kind of like bubble up over time. But once you make the decision, and once you decide to take action on the decision, I guess, is like things can shift really fast, especially mm-hmm. if it's coming from that like congruent, like embodied place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The biggest lesson that I learned from that is like, have integrity with what you are experiencing internally and what you are allowing into your life externally. And if you mm-hmm. do, that's alignment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of circles all the way back to like our conversation of self-trust, right? Mm-hmm. Like you had all these reasons to stay. It was uncomfortable to leave, but ultimately like you had to trust that what you were feeling was real and was true, and that like your intuition had your back.
Yeah, totally. And I built that self-trust over those 2 years as well, mm-hmm. being able to get my business to the level that it was at, where I was like, all right, I know that financially I'll be able to take care of myself. And mm-hmm. then in the 6 months leading up to our separation, I traveled a lot by myself. I spent a lot of time with friends, and I got to experience, okay, I'm good alone. I'm okay yeah. without him by my side. And so I did take baby steps along the way to continue to build that self-trust of knowing that mm-hmm. I will be okay with whatever direction this goes. And so it's like trusting in yourself and trusting in whatever guidance you're receiving in the moment to help you build more trust, to know that like mm-hmm. you've got your back and God's got your back and you're going to be okay.
Yeah. That's such a beautiful story and just such like a testament to all of your work and your values. And I know, I can't believe we're already almost to an hour. So we can put a bookmark and come back to this maybe for a part two. But where do people find you? Where do they learn more about breath work from you? Where do they learn more about your story? Like, I'm sure everyone's really excited to plug into breath work and maybe try that tomorrow morning in their morning routine or right now. So where do they go?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm so grateful that we got to do this. This was so much yeah. fun. And yeah. if anyone is interested in following up with me, my Instagram is Ava Johanna. You can also find everything breathwork related at Academy of Breath. Our website is academyofbreath.org. My website is avajohanna.com. And on both of our Instagrams, we have a 5-day mini course called the Next Level You mini course. And in that mini course, it's really all about how you can use breathwork for identity work. It's totally free. And I think that's a really great place to start, to just dip your toes into breathwork. And I dive a lot deeper into the science and how it really works with being able to shift our beliefs and our habits using the breath and as a part of your daily practice.
Beautiful. That sounds amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, your wisdom, your knowledge. This has been amazing and super expansive. So super grateful for you. And I know everyone's going to love this episode.
Thank you.